This morning I want to share about something on understanding God. And the reason is, the last time I was here, we were talking about staying in God's love. And I feel like it's important for us to stay in God's love, but it's difficult to stay in God's love if we don't understand God himself. Last week was very, very great with the speaker. I was worried when Pastor Brian asked me to preach this week after last week because it was so good. But one thing I discovered on Thursday, we came for praise team social gathering. It was a weird social gathering because it was at night and I was coming from work. But it was very awesome because we had some soup and some pasta and some desserts. It was very exciting. But one thing I discovered in that meeting is each one of us here have got the word. And if we only can open our mouth and share the word, it's very profound. Because Shen shared and Bevan spoke and Cindy spoke. And you can see that people know the word and we only need to share the word. And it is very encouraging as a church when we gather together and we share. And I want to encourage the church to share the word of God. In our gathering, in our meetings, during our lunch, you know, just meet for a few hours. If hours is too much, few minutes. But in each and everything that we do, we need to find time to just share the word of God. This morning, I was thinking about the kids, but the kids are not here. Because I thought about myself when I was young. There's a question that I asked to my mom. My mom had given birth to my brother. And I was only 4 or 5 years old. There's a weird question I asked my mom in front of her friends that came to see the baby. And I asked my mom, would this baby grow? They laughed at me. I still remember that question. That's the only one thing I remember when I was young. Will this baby grow? And I'll tell you why. It's fascinating for me. Is my brother is the shortest person in the family. And I don't know what made me to ask that question. But if you understand something about kids, they ask a lot of questions. And some of them are weird questions. They will ask you why the sky is blue. And you answer them, and you're convinced that my answer is going to convince my child to stop asking, but they ask more questions, but why? But you know why? Kids ask questions because of two things. It's either they want to know, or second, they want to confirm what they know already. So kids will go in their peer groups, and they will learn something, but kids, they know who their father and their mother is. And they believe that their parents are the most wise people in the world. Kids who believe that their dad is a hero. So they come to you and ask you a question that they already know the answer, but they want to confirm. But it's not only kids that ask questions. We also ask questions. But our questions are much deeper. More sensible. But sometimes our questions confuse us. Because we ask questions like, when will suffering in this world end? When will this system of things end? System of things, I mean, the governments and authority that tramps us down and we can't do things because we've invested so much in the world, but there is a system that does compromise our investments. So we want that system to end, but when will it end? That's a question. A There's a lot of questions as Christians we ask, the diseases and the disasters. When will all these things end? And that gives us a challenge as Christians, because the world also wants to find these answers from us. And we don't seem to have the answers. And people that have given up most are the Christians, because they know about God, but they don't understand what's going on in the world. So there's a confusion. When the world is looking for answers, we are supposed to be the ones giving the answers. But we don't even have the answers. I'll tell you a story of Jesus. There are four biographies, the books that talks about Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, from Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John. These books have revealed that Jesus was asked 183 questions from the people. Some of the questions, of course, we know by the scribes and the Sadducees, they wanted to trap him. But 183 questions, only, if you might guess, only four Jesus is answering direct. But 179 questions, if my mathematics is right, Jesus is answering through telling a story, or in another way around. But there's something profound. Jesus, in all these biographies, himself is asking lots of questions. 307 questions that Jesus has asked people. Some of them weird, like he found some dude who was sick and he asked him, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? I mean, just imagine someone is sick and you're asking, do you want to be healed? But Jesus was asking questions, because through questions, there is one thing that you take from. You understand things much better. Because once you ask questions, then you get the answer. And from the answer is where you make up your mind where it does help you or not. So we need to ask these questions. But where do we find our answers? In the book of Matthew, Matthew 7, verse 7, the Bible does give us the courage and encouragement to ask questions. It says in the book of Matthew 7, verse 7, keep on asking. And there's a promise, says, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. This was Jesus teaching. And in verse 8 of that Matthew 7 says, for everyone who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. That's where the problem is. Because the Bible has given you the promise. Now from the promise comes what we call the premise. So Christians are like, we keep on asking, we don't get the answers. Keep on seeking, we don't find. We keep on knocking the doors. The doors are not open. They're closed. In actual fact, people go by the window and check who is knocking first. And sometimes you're knocking and inside you hear the voice, who is there? You know that joke, knock, knock, who is there? Nobody. Because we ask these questions. We seek. But it's almost like in vain. By asking questions, there was something that Jesus wanted to find out. He wanted to find out something in us. From your answer, you reveal yourself. So this morning I want to encourage the church to ask questions, to seek and to knock, but ask questions to God Almighty. Because from the answer, God is going to reveal himself to you. And keep seeking from God, because you'll find the true self. There is something that I want to tell you. It's easy to understand God. This morning I want to talk about understanding God. It's very easy to understand God because the first thing that helps us to understand God is ourself. God reveals himself in his creation, and we are God's creation. Just go outside and look. That's how God is revealing himself. If you study physics or science, you'll understand small details of how God has put things together so they work in harmony. They work together. That's God revealing himself, his greatness. We Christians know God is great, almighty. He's all powerful. And these things are revealed through his creation. So when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we see God. Because in the book of Genesis, as it says, he creates man in his own image, likeness. So God is revealed in all of us. And I want to tell the church today that no matter how much we seek God, no matter how much we knock on the door and we want the doors to be open, revelation is more powerful than reasoning. Because as Christians, we want to reason on everything. So we even go to the Bible to find reasoning. But let's go to the Bible and see God. Let God reveal himself in us. Because in all of us, I tell you, just listening to a sweet lady here, God is revealed in those kind of testimonies. And all of us have got testimonies. And the fact that from the congregation, Pastor Brian does ask me to preach, it's a revelation of God in me. Because I ask myself, why me? And I'm a third generation, whatever, because this church was established a long time, folks. I was talking to Joe about the history of the church in terms of the praise and worship. You'd be amazed. We're using an organ here. And then, you know, those kind of slow sounds. And there's still people here who like the old groove of hymns. But that's what we do back home in Malawi too. We got those books, hymns. But also we've got choirs. Now there's an upgrade. We've got equipments now. But it so seems like we move with times. But as we move with times, we still have got one thing. And that's the word. The word never changes. And that's the character of God, is that God never changes. No matter how much you want to twist and turn and try to upgrade, it never changes. I mean, all of us, we've got phones here. No matter how much you want to show me your phone, Samsung S9, you show me iPhone 7, whatever. The thing is the same. It's just for calling. Of course, you're going to do your WhatsApps and your banking. But the reasoning to have a phone is communication. That's it. Simple. The word in the Bible is a biography of the Creator, to keep the connection between his creation and him as a creator. That's it. You might want to run away from the truth, but the truth is God wanted to have a relationship with us. So he reveals himself to us. The message shall be only one, is that we find God and we find ourselves. So the first thing, if we want to understand God, we need to know
that God is revealing himself to you because he has created us in his own image. And I don't like looking at this. If I look at this, I feel like it's delaying me. But we write these notes as people that preaches so that you don't go weird way, you know, and start preaching some crazy stuff about David in July or something like that. But here is one thing that the Bible brings to our attention in Proverbs 2 verse 1. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to skillful and godly wisdom and incline and directing your heart and mind to understanding, yes, you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek wisdom as for silver and search for skillful and godly wisdom as for hidden treasures, then you'll understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of our God. For the Lord gives skillful and glory, godly wisdom from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You seek God, you find all of this. So you identify God through his creation. Another way of identifying and understanding God's principles is through his son, Jesus Christ. We are known as Christians following Jesus. And Jesus has got something very profound. He never did anything without the Father. I remember when he was trying to raise Lazarus, his friend, they said it was just to bring to the people their attention the greatness of God. Lazarus wasn't supposed to die. In actual fact, he didn't say he died. He said he was sleeping. But he prayed before Lazarus came out of the grave. He said, for the sake of the people. And he came out. And that's what Jesus did. He represented his Father, God. And if you look at the story of Jesus, you see that God was with us. That's why in John 1 verse 14 it says, he became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. He became part of us. It was God living with us. And I can assure you that the same is today. That we are following Christ, emulate his example. We do all the things that he has asked us to do. Some of them are simple, some of them are hard. But nothing is easy. Because the harder it is, the greater the reward. So I want to encourage you to read more about Jesus, do more of following. Following by his examples. And also make sure that we don't forget the mission that Jesus asked us to do. Is go out there, preach the word, make disciples, more followers. And through Jesus Christ, we see that there is a lot we can learn from him, that he treasured what the Father gave him, the mission to come and die for us. We need to commit to that. And inside us, there is a God. We shouldn't forget that, as I said. So revelation brings faith, which is believing in God. And of course, we trust in God. And trust for me is about investing. Investing your time, your mind. Because this is where the devil is very clever. The devil is targeting here, the mind. It all starts here. You see, you asking questions starts from here, not understanding. So you ask questions. And what the devil does stops here. That's what the devil did to Eve here. You see, he asked Eve and say, did God say? Yeah. He was trying to confirm, if you know. So if you see most of our failures, they start from here. Sometimes we're not sure. So here is a problem. So we need to trust God. By trusting God, we surrender ourselves to God. So here becomes clear. It becomes now God controlling it. And then we need also to love. Loving God is experiencing God. You see, God is love. And I get excited when I talk about love, because if God is love and we love, then God is in us. I know people talk about fake feelings and fake love. There's nothing like fake love and fake feelings. God is love. If you love, you love. If you don't love, you don't. That's it. People can say, I love you, it's fine. But if they don't mean it, then it's not love. So we need to understand God is love. And for us to understand God, we need to know He's a creator, He's holy, omnipresent. Those are technical words in the gospel. That means He's all over the place. He's a spirit. He's existing right now in this church. He's at Greenwood Church, where Pastor Brian is. He's there. Peter Beston is in Westfield. He's there. That's God is all over the place. And we can't comprehend those kind of situations, trying to think, how does He exist? That's why we need to connect with God more so that we can understand Him. Maybe we do have excuses with times and all of that, but the fact that God is present everywhere is a very good thing, because when you're busy, He's there with you. That you can have a moment of prayer, a moment of worship. You can sing this song. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus, as you're doing your call, whatever you're doing, wherever. That's the greatness of God. And there's a promise if you connect with God. Because sometimes people don't want to invest in things that they're not going to get reward. And that's how we are. We want to make deals. You know? And when God created us, He's given us everything. That was His deal. He gives authority to us in Genesis. It says, you look after everything I've created. But we lost it. So we're still struggling to get that deal back. There is a deal that God is making. If only you stick to Him. In Psalms 37, verse 29, it says, the righteous will possess the earth, and they will receive forever on it. They will dwell here. They will live. And that's one thing we don't understand too. There are two lives in you. There's an old life, which is physical. There's a new life, which is spiritual. Once we attain the spiritual life, God says it's forever. But you have to do the work. You have to keep in touch. It's like your kids, your children. If they don't call you, you start thinking twice. Maybe they've forgotten about you. And that's God is our Father. We have to keep in touch. The fact that some people are not here is understandable, as Cindy said, holiday times. But we need to pray for them in whatever they do. Because we need to keep in touch with God. We need to continue encouraging each other. I'm not feeling guilty that the time is almost gone, because I didn't make that promise that a certain politician made. He said, I'll keep my message short like a miniskirt, but it's going to cover the whole subject. I didn't say that. So I can be here. But I'll finish just now. There's one thing when you are, I think a couple of people have preached here before. You get excited when you want to preach because there's this thing of researching and finding out. So you get a lot of information. And I want to encourage the church to get involved. Different ministries in the church. I'm an advocate for that. I want people to get involved because in getting involved, you grow, you know? You feed yourself. But you don't just feed yourself, you also feed off other people and you feed them as well. And that's sharing is the most powerful tool to grow spiritually. Since I started getting involved in the church, I've grown. I've had the opportunity to preach here in Molweni. And I didn't tell you a story about Molweni. I go there with my English. I'm a black dude, so my English is a bit fancy. You know? You need to talk like that. Then they will understand you. The Malema type. Don't be scared. I went to Molweni, and as I was sharing, see, people are quiet the way you are, chilled. Then after the service, only I'm told half of the people don't understand English. I felt so guilty because my skin and their skin was the same. And I didn't understand. There's one thing about me. I'm from Malawi, but my complexion, people say I'm a Zulu. They refuse. Some of them, they don't talk to me in English. In actual fact, one person came to ask for a job, and I was talking in English. She refused to talk to me. She said I was being proud and all of that. So I had to call another guy to speak to her. And she told him that this guy doesn't want to talk to me in Zulu, who think he is umlungwena. And then my friend had to lie to say, no, he's a colored. It was crazy. So you need to understand, I go through a lot in my life. I go in a taxi and I like to sit in the front. So in the front, you are given money for, you know, people, they don't have conductors there. They give you money. It's about two, it's about three. It means we are three, we are four. I have to give them change. But the driver is talking to me in Isizulu one way. And I don't understand these things, but you know, you should be careful as a black foreigner. Xenophobia, guys. So I'm not a guy who is like, I don't understand, Baba. No, I'm a guy who sits there in a taxi thinking, when am I going to drop this taxi, man? And I'm laughing. Sometimes I'm smiling. I can understand. I mean, my girlfriend is Zulu. But she's also fluent in English. So that's a problem. Because the best way to learn the language, to live with the people, eat with them. And unfortunately, I haven't stayed in locations and with them and all of that. So that was a bad story about me preaching in Molweni. The language issue. And there were like old ladies there. I had a good message. I had a message about investing time in God, spending time with God, but it all got wasted. I want to finish by encouraging the church to know God. Because in knowing God, you get the knowledge. But here is my analogy before I finish. If you've got the knowledge, but you don't understand what you know, you'll never achieve anything. Send your kids to school, Kensner College, whatever you call it, expensive school. They will sit in class. They will get the knowledge. 2 + 2 = 4. But if they don't understand that 2 × 2 = another, I don't know what it is. I'm not good at mathematics. You solve it. that 2 plus 4 is equal to 6, but 2 times 4 is equal to 8, if they don't understand the difference between multiplication and addition and division, if they don't understand and separate this, they will never achieve anything. They will sit in an examination room, they will fail exams. As Christians, if you don't understand the details of the message and grasp to that and then see in it what God is saying to us, we will never reach the premise. And that will be very sad. Because maybe I'll be there, I'll be looking at them, and I'll be like, where is she? Where is he? You're not there. Because you didn't understand the knowledge that you had. So much knowledge we get here. But if you don't understand the knowledge, you will never know God. You keep on asking these questions. And that, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, my brethren, is my message. We need to know God. Ask, seek, knock. This church will grow spiritually, not in numbers. There's a growth in spirit and there's a growth in numbers. We need to grow both in them. I'll leave you with a verse from my book, the book of James. James 1 verse 15. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the giving God to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly. It's quite a big word, I'm sorry. Google it. Without reproaching or fault finding, it will be given to you.